Someone said to me one time they didn't like Mother's Day services because there are people that maybe they couldn't be a mother, and that made them sad. But I reminded them that Mother's Day is about your mother. And not all of us have a mother. Maybe some of us had some not so good mothers. That happens. But you know what? Everyone can have a mother. And what do I mean by that? I mean, some of you out there did not have the blessing of being raised by your mother because either they passed away or whatever the reason was, but someone stepped in to be that mentor, that surrogate mother. And I would encourage you, if you don't have a mother, you go find one. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of ladies out there, that older ladies that would love to have someone be that child for them. And I encourage you to maybe be that person if that's you. Today, I don't have the blessing of having my mother with me. She went home to be with the Lord 10 years ago, and her mother before her, another 15 years before that at least. But this morning, I have one of my mom's cups. My mom was a Norman Rockwell nut, and she actually did some art education under Norman Rockwell when she was young, and this is one of his Sports of Field pictures on a cup. So I have my mother's cup this morning. And I have a picture of my grandmother right here. See that? Those of you that are watching online. And, of course, we want to welcome you that are watching online, and, of course, also those that will be listening to the program on radio at noon. But Mother's Day to me is a very special day. I told Shirley this morning, we neither one of us have our mother here now, and it'd be nice to be able to celebrate with them. But then again, we have become that older generation, and our children have her as her mother, and they'll celebrate her today. I want to talk a little bit about mothers today. I think mothers are so important. Any of you that know me very well or have sat under my teaching very long know that I believe that it's amazing in Scripture the evidence of how much God loved women and loved mothers, and how the high regard he held them in. Obviously, Jesus had a mother, and God did not have to send him to her earth with a mother, but he chose to, and he chose to have a mother that nurtured him. And there's nothing more important in our lives than the nurturing of a mother. There truly isn't. And I commend and give so much respect to all of you that put that on such a high priority in your life. And your kids will not return void, I promise you that. I want to talk about a few different things this morning. First, I want to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul is addressing this young pastor, Timothy. As he calls a beloved son, he means he's his son in the faith. He's been handpicked by Paul to be this pastor. Of course, I'm sure he was directed there by God, but Paul really mentored him. And he says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. What does that show? It shows generational faith from a mother. A mom doesn't have to be the cool mom. Matter of fact, I don't know if she got to listen to it or not, but I was coming home the other morning at about 7:30, and there was a lady on the James Dobson program that was talking about being yourself as a mom and not letting everything around you define who you're supposed to be, as far as all the burdens. You know, women carry such heavy heavy loads today. Not only are they expected to be a mother, they're expected many times to carry the financial load. They're expected to keep the house, to keep the meals on the table. They're expected to, and on the list goes. And they're expected to be have the kids at all the sports things and then be at all the PTA meetings or whatever you call them today. And PTO, maybe. But anyway, you're expected to be on this committee and that committee, and you're expected to, I don't know how moms do it today. I really don't. But what this lady was basically talking about is don't let that stuff define you, how good of a mom you are. You let the word of God define you, how good of a mom you are, and you be the mom that God has called you to be, and everything's going to be just fine. You know, look for your self-worth through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of the world, because the eyes of the world will pick you up and drop you. Doesn't it? Won't it do that? You know, people, all of a sudden, they're the head of this, or they're the key chairperson on this, that, or the other, and everyone's coming to them. Boy, you just feel so great and important, and like, wow, I'm really doing good. And then all of a sudden, someone cuts the rug out from under you, and God doesn't do that. So what she was basically saying was, Mom, take a breath. Be who God's called you to be. Think about what is important with your children, with your family, with your spouse. And be that person. Don't let that stuff have to define you. Does it take away the responsibility of, no, I still need to make money, or no, I still got to have the kids at the games, I still got to, but you know, maybe don't let it define you even though you're doing it. Does that make sense? And don't look to do more of it to make you feel like you're a better person, because that's not what's going to make you a better person. So I think of my grandmother. And she wasn't the most beautiful woman in the world. My mom was really pretty. She got it from her dad's side, I'm sure. My grandmother was she was dull. My mom used to talk about my grandmother that, you know, back then there weren't dishwashers. Or at least they never bothered buying one. And my grandmother would empty the sink 3 times doing the dishes just for her and my grandfather, because the water would get cold. Yeah, she was that slow. If you went to ask her a question, you better plan on being there a few minutes, because it would take her about a minute. She, well, I don't know. And that's how this conversation would go for the first 2 minutes. And then she would have something very wise to say. Now, it sounds like I'm making fun of Grandma, and maybe I'm pinching just a little bit. But I got to tell you something else about my grandmother. I never, ever, ever, ever one time heard my grandmother say a negative word about anyone in my entire life. It was so obvious how much she loved God. It's so obvious how much she loved her children. It was so obvious that she was there to be a good wife. And to do everything that she could do for people. She, in her retirement years, which she didn't work, but she still, you know, we're talking retirement years, you know, an empty nest, that type of thing. She opened a little Christian bookstore on the back porch of her house, and she was such a witness for people. And even though that she wasn't an exciting person, she got to know people, and she blessed people, and she prayed for people, and she was always praying for people. And later, she taught Sunday school down in Florida at this little church that she went to that was just a great place. She had a dear pastor friend named Brother George, she called him, and got close with his family after my grandfather died. But the point I'm trying to make is she was that example. When I read this, and I see that when he says that, I call her a member. It's the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother. I have the blessing of looking back to my grandmother and seeing that genuine faith. And I'm so glad that I have that, that I always had that. And then he goes ahead and he talks about the faith that also dwelt in his mother, Lois. Now, what's interesting is mother was Eunice, grandmother was Lois. But anyway, what impact did they have on him that was so strong that it was worth putting in Scripture. Had a huge impact. Never does it mention Timothy's dad, does it? See, God gave women the role, whether or not you're a working mom or a single mom, God gave you the role of nurturer. And it's because you are wired to be able to nurture from a little age. Kids run to their mommy, usually before they run to daddy, unless you're Meredith. No, Meredith always runs to mommy. But anyway, kids go through that stage as toddlers where all of a sudden they just dump mom and want daddy, or vice versa. I don't know why they do that, but they'll do it for about 3 weeks and then go back. But anyway, the importance of the mother. Now, my mother was obviously my grandmother's daughter, and my mother was she was type A across the board. Nothing like my grandmother. Mom was just go, 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 go all the time. And just involved in everything. But once again, because of the faith of her mother and with the example she saw in her mother, she spent that time every day with the Lord. I remember after Dad passed away and she was working all the time, two jobs usually, well, always two jobs, sometimes three. When she got home from work before she'd go to her next one, you'd better be quiet or you are dead. Because she was going to go and she was going to get a cup of coffee and she was going to get her Bible and she was going to take a brief 20-minute nap and then she was going to sit there and she was going to read the Word before she finished out her day. And that example definitely stands very strong in me in seeing the importance of Scripture to her in her walk with the Lord. If I told you stories about, I'll just give you a real quick rundown, real, real short quick rundown. In about between 1970 and 1971, our house burnt down, which she loved dearly, and the house burnt. And it was an old 1840s farmhouse that she had furnished with antiques, and it burnt. During that same period of time, my dad wasn't being faithful. My mother's father got sick and died. My mother had a miscarriage and ended up having cancer. Then she was taking medication following that, and she was leading one of my dad's racehorses from the racetrack back to the paddock, and he got spooked, and she ended up having a very severe stroke. She healed from that. And then my father was killed in a car accident. That was all in about a 9-month period. And she was left with three kids. She'd never worked outside of the home in her life. She'd worked hard, but never left outside of the home. And she had to go back to work. She had to go to work, to different work. And her kids weren't always easy on her. She had to figure out. My dad did not leave. I think my dad, she had maybe $6,000 in life insurance and three kids left at home. And it never worked. I think she got $360 a month in Social Security. Bottom line is, I never one time heard her complain to God. I never heard her one time stop praising God for his mercy and his blessings. Wow, that gave me something to hang on to. In the end, Mom had a wonderful life later on. She was remarried 15 years later and had a wonderful marriage for 20 years before the Lord took him home. She did well. She was very successful at many things. She even had some artwork displayed in the White House. She just did some wonderful things. God blessed her life so much. But when I look at that blessing, I have to go back to her faithfulness. See, God rewards faithfulness. And he rewards faithfulness in who we are in him and what we do for him. It always amazes me sometimes how people will go down a road knowing what God says and what God says, how we're supposed to be in relationships, what kind of parent we're supposed to be. But we get so pulled, and the pull from the world is very strong. We get so pulled from the world, even knowing that God says, I will not honor this, we go down that road anyway. And then we do wonder what happened when God didn't honor it. Isn't that odd? It's not really odd, because even though we're believers, we're people. That's why it's so important to keep our eyes on the Lord and what the Lord wants us to do and who he wants us to be. I go back to a passage, and it's where I was going to be today if it wasn't Mother's Day. And that passage is, I don't want to lose my place on this passage, in Acts chapter 5. And he talks about at the end of chapter 4, I'll read it, starting 35. And he laid them at the, he was talking about people bringing proceeds and lands they sold, laying at the apostles' feet. Because remember, everybody was helping everyone at that point. They had all come together, and the church was new, and they wanted to just help everyone, and they were just taking all their possessions and bringing them and giving them. And it says, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone needed. Then Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So I'm going to have to give a backstory here that I don't really see, because you're going to have to imply some of what went on with Ananias and Sapphira, because evidently they saw what was going on and they saw that it was good. And many times, what we give to God is, there's two things about it. One, it's between us and God. It's not meant for us to wave it in the air and say, look what I gave. And the other thing is, it's something that we have to be honest about. If you're going to give God everything from something, and you don't lie to God. But if you're only going to give God a little bit of that, because that's truly all you believe you can do, that's fine too. Just tell him the truth. Don't pretend to do something to make yourself look good and do something different. Well, along comes Ananias and Sapphira. Now, there's nowhere in here that I read anything about their children. But in that day and age, I would assume they probably had kids. Most people did. And think of if Sapphira was your grandmother to look back on, or your mother to look back on. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last breath. So fear came upon all those that heard these things. Now, I don't think the fear came upon the people so that they would give everything they had. The fear came upon them, we better be honest with God with what we're doing. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. The young man arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? She said, oh yeah, we sold it for this much. She lied. Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of God? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out also. And we know what happened at that point. She got carried out. That was the end of that. The point I'm trying to make is this, and she's just one example that I could have used many, but being the fact it fell in line with what we were reading last week, I thought I'd go ahead and use them. Think of the difference between the mother that Timothy must have had and the grandmother, and then the person that would have been left with the remembrance and the memory of this mother. One is certainly someone that would be a great encouragement and a great thing for you to look back on and see the legacy of, and the other one you wouldn't even want to tell people who they were. And see, the thing is, God gives us the opportunity to be either one of those. And it's not about what we look like. Obviously, Ananias and Sapphira wanted to look really good, didn't they? Look, we sold our land and we're bringing it, laying it at the apostles' feet. I got half of it in my hip pocket, but yeah. And the point was, it's great that they gave it. Just be honest about it. You know, that's all God wants us to do is be honest. You know, if you struggle, be honest with whatever it is. If you're struggling with a lustful heart for anything, for things, for people, for maybe someone outside of your marriage, just give it to God. He already knows it. So why not just say, God, you know what, I'm really struggling here. And he's waiting on us many times to come clean. You know, God, I'm really struggling here. You know, send someone in my life to help direct me. Guide me in this area. Lord, let me keep my eyes on you. See, we all fall down and we all stumble. But see, Ananias and Sapphira were so concerned about how other people looked at them. I think that's one of our biggest battles today, is how do people look at us? When we need to worry about, how does God look at me? He's the one that matters, right? Isn't that what matters? He's not telling us to be ugly. He's not telling us to just, you know, wear the drabbiest clothes and just, you know. No, that's not what he's saying. I mean, we can have beautiful things, and God wants to bless us with nice. He loves us to have nice things and to look nice and take care of ourselves and do all those things. But put things in that sensible perspective. Now, I talk about my mom like she's pretty holy, but I'll tell you, she did have a couple downfalls. Yeah, my mom loved a camera. My mom loved to have her picture taken. There might have been just a tad bit of vanity there. If my mom fell down anywhere, there might have been just a little bit of vanity. But that's okay, because she was such a wonderful lady. All that stuff overshadowed that. And if she wanted to take that little piece for herself, you know, we all seem to do that. I'm not condoning, but I'm just saying that she wasn't perfect. Of course she wasn't perfect. But when I think of my mother, I don't think of her vanity. I think of the wonderful things she did and who she was. And I pray, Mom, that your children can think of you and see that. You know what my desire is for you mothers today, and it doesn't matter how old you are at this point, is that one day that your kids can look back on you and say, I'm the woman I am today. I am the son I am today because of God and because of my mother and how my mother raised me and the example that she was and the truth that she told me even when it wasn't convenient and the fact that I knew that she always loved me and was going to do what was right for me, not always what was popular. My mother did not sacrifice me on the altar of society, which so many moms do today. They live vicariously through their children. How scary. Now that I've talked about that a little bit, ladies, I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you the wonderful way God made you and loves you and desires for you to raise your kids, to look at you and look back on you is the way I have the blessing of looking back on my mother and grandmother and the fact that you're not dead yet. So even if you've made mistakes along the way, which we all do, you can finish well. Isn't it better to finish well than not finish at all? Of course it is. God looks at how we finish, not how we begin. Now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, and I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Men, listen up out there. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. I want to tell you something today. If you want to see a good mom, you want to see a mom able to do what she needs to do to the fullest extent and capability that she can as a mother, she better have the support of her husband. And I commend the mothers that don't have that and the mothers that may be a single mom that are still able to put that forward and still rise above. But what I'm telling you, men, make it easier. Make it easier for them to be the mother that they're supposed to be. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Wow. What does that tell a husband? What did Christ do? He died for the church. Men, are you willing to die for your wife? And I'm not just physically talking about dying. You realize that Jesus came to this earth and he set aside all the wonderful godliness and attributes, things that he had, access of things that he had, in glory, and set that aside to become a common man, and barely have he said he didn't even have a place to lay his head. And he was willing to set that aside for you because you're the church. And he's telling the husband to love your wife that much. Love your wife enough that you're willing to put aside, oh, well, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is what's going to make me feel good. This is what, you know, I don't really care what she... Put that aside. How much do you love her? God calls us to come together and be joined to be one flesh. And what does that mean? That means there's got to be give and take. One flesh is equal parts of both, right? Yes, God called the man to be the head of the house, to be that buck stops here guy, to take that role of leadership. But he never called the man to lord over the woman. That's not what it's about. It's about them working together and loving God, and God in the middle. They both answer to God, and they love each other. And that's the example that our children need to see. It's how we finish. My kids will tell you, I know I'm not a woman, so I'm talking about me for a second. I know it's Mother's Day. But what I'm going to say is this, that my kids can tell you there was a time when I had to come to them and say, when they were young, I had to say, you know what, Dad's been wrong. The way I've been living is wrong. What I've been doing is wrong. And we need to be the people that God's called us to be. And there's nothing wrong with eating a little crow when you're going back on the path of doing what God calls you to do and who he needs you to be. Because one of two things can happen. You can continue down that path and watch your kids become a victim of it. Or you can walk away from that path and watch your kids overcome it. And which one is it going to be? And that's why I say it can be all the way to the end of your life. Some people say, oh, I'm so old now. You know, my kids are adults or this or that. No, you know what? Your influence on them never stops. I've seen families where parental relationships were repaired with their children when their kids were in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. And when that person died, they loved them dearly and just wish they had more time with them. What are we going to do with our lives? But he says, he loved this church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. In other words, the washing through the word of God. That's what's important in our lives. Husbands, with your wives, that's what is important. That is how you the cleansing that goes on in the home. And that he might present her to himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or anything such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Wow. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. That goes back to that same thing. It's that love together that's so important. Husbands, it's that love of your wife. Don't make your wife struggle with being a mom. Don't sit back and let her have to do all the discipline. Don't let her sit back and be the one that has to be the no person and the begging to get this done and begging to the... Take the role, take the lead and do it. Mom needs to be there nurturing and teaching and loving. But Dad, I'm going to tell you something. Make her life a little easier. Women shouldn't have to carry that burden alone. God did not design them to be the enforcer. Doesn't mean they can't be when they have to be. But if you're there, why should she be? I never liked it when my mom was the enforcer. Because it took her a lot to get there. I'd take a spanking from my dad any day. Because I knew when I got one from Mama, gloves were off, man. And I'd remember it. She didn't like that role. She did not like that part of what she had to do. And it didn't happen very often. The worst thing she could ever say was, wait till your father gets home. Because with all my dad's downfalls, which, boy, he had a bunch. That's okay, he was a good dad. But with all his downfalls, one thing I will say, when you crossed Mom and he knew about it, that's when you really got in trouble. Because he backed up Mom 100%. And that's the way it needs to be, men. Don't throw your wife out there to be eaten by the wolves when it comes to trying to raise the kids. Take that role of being the man in the house. Let Mom be the nurturer, the teacher. Because God designed her to do that. God designed her to lead and guide and to nurture. So moms, you love your moms. A lot of you still have moms alive, and that's a wonderful thing. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. Honor them. Try to look past their difficulties, their mistakes, because you'll make the same ones, or you'll make them too. We all make mistakes in raising our kids, but love your moms. Understand that the importance of what it means to be a mom. We've lost so much of that today. Being a mom is not just giving birth. It's not just deciding, well, I'll get rid of this baby and I'll have the next one. Being a mother is something so special that honestly, only a mother can understand it. I don't understand that deep motherhood feeling that a mother carries for their child. Because I'm not a mother. But I think you do. Kids, I want to tell you something, that your mom loves you. And I don't care if she's been a so-so mom, an average mom, a bad mom, a mom that drives you nuts. You know, some moms, I'm going to go visit Mom, but I can only stay for 20 minutes or I'm ready to string her up. I got to get out of here. I mean, whatever kind of mom it is, the bottom line is your mom loves you and she wants you to love her. And it hurts Mom when she feels that the kids aren't there. And it's not a matter whether your mom was there for you or not. It's not. God calls us to be there for them whether they were there for us or not. We can never use that excuse, well, my mom never did it, so I'm not going to worry about it. God calls us to respect and love our parents. God calls us to take care of our parents when they're old. That's something else that's so changed in society in the last 100 years. It was always the younger people that took care of their parents. Today, most people are just waiting to see what they're going to get left. Or what's left. Boy, Mom's in the nursing home. I hope she hurries up and goes because that money's going fast. I'm not talking about any of you, but I've seen that attitude a lot. So I'm saying, love your mom. Those of you that don't have your mom here anymore, I can sympathize with you on missing your mom. And wanting to know, you know, because I can't talk to my mom anymore. I can remember, I can think about her, you know, still my mom has been gone 10 years. And just this last week, it happens all the time, something neat will happen and I'll think, I need to call Mom. That's the impact your mom has on you. I can't call Mom. One day I'll see her face to face in heaven. And I pray that one day that you will see your daughter or your son face to face in heaven. But we need to be that godly influence to them. We need to be there and listen to them. You know, from the day our children are born, and I wish that more people could grasp this today. From the day that first child's little cry, spank of a bottom and cry comes out. From that moment on, your world changes and your responsibilities change. You go from being a single person that takes care of you, or if you're married, takes care of your spouse and back and forth. You become someone that here is our attention. We now have a child to raise. And this child is we have to, God gave them to us, but God gave them to us for us to nurture and raise and disciple and take care of. And until they're an adult, that never stops. And with some of us, we keep trying to raise our kids even after they're adults. But the point is, I wish society could see that today. It's not just about feeding them and giving them nice clothes and making them look good so everyone thinks we're great parents. It's about being the parent and saying, you know what, when my child gets to this age, they'll have to make their own decision whether they're going to follow Jesus Christ or not. I can't make that for them. But I'm going to give them every opportunity to know this is the way to go. And through me be that opportunity to say, yeah, I saw an honest faith growing up, and that's what I desire in my life too. There's raising and nurturing. See what I mean? So love your mom. Love your mom. Husbands, love your wives. If you ever wonder how your son is going to treat his wife, it's probably going to be very closely resemble how you treated your wife. They learn that from their father. Ladies, your young ladies are going to learn how to treat their husband based on how you treated your husband. So God calls us to love one another. You guys have a great Mother's Day. You know what? Go out. I don't know what you're all doing today, but enjoy it. Please, if you have a mom out there, which most of you do, tell mom today that you love her and give her a hug, because that will make her day over anything else. That'll make her day over lunch, flowers, anything. Just a hug and I love you means so much to a mother. And encourage them. Ladies, we've got some great ladies in this church, and you're great moms. And I'm just, I am very blessed as a pastor to see the mothers that we have in this church. And I've talked to many of you. I know the care and love you have for your children. I think it's wonderful and commendable. And fathers, some of you out there are great fathers. Some of you are terrible at it. No. But anyway, really. You know, this is all about, you know, walk in that path that God laid out for us, because it's not going to, his word doesn't return void. It's going to get better. We just say, Lord, what would you have me to do and how would you have me to do it? Right? Amen? Amen. I want all the men out there on the count of three to say Happy Mother's Day. One, two, three. Happy Mother's Day. Now, I hope you didn't just say that because the pastor told you to. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all you've given us. Thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much. I thank you for my mother and for all the mothers represented here today and their mothers that have gone on before them, for the things they instilled in their lives. Lord, we just thank you so much. Let us all desire, and even those of us that are empty nesters, desire to be the influence, the good influence on our children as a parent that we can be until we take that last breath and see you face to face, and then we pass that torch down to them, that we would be that example. We thank you for this day and your love. Keep us safe, and all those that are traveling today and not here with us, keep them safe on the road.